WRKC is proud to present the fourth season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King students. We now present our 32nd episode, The Long Drag, Part 1.
I looked down out of my grime-covered window at the city. I looked down at all the sludge and the filth all about me, and I couldn't help thinking back to a time before the squalor. A time where this kind of degradation would not stand. Sadly, those pure, worry-free days had come and gone. It was coming down in sheets out there, but not even that could wash it all away. My name's Harry Flynn. I'm a private eye. I've seen some things that have put normal men in the nut house. But for some reason, this particular scenario got to me. I wept. Not for the city, or its future or past, or any of that. No, the city was fine. I was referring to the state of my office. Seriously, it's a pigsty in here. I thought the grime was on the outside of the window, but apparently it's in here, hence the rain reference. I do it, but I don't know where the cleansers are, and anyway, that's neither here nor there. I sipped on a cup of oily, tepid coffee and sat down at my desk, overflowing with unorganized paperwork. I don't think the office would be as bad as it is if it weren't for the fact that my ever-loyal secretary, Deborah Sullivan, was over 6 hours late for her first shift since her week-long leave. I wouldn't usually grant it, but she just went through a painful breakup with her ex-gangster boyfriend, Jimmy the Foot Converse. She's been late before, but never this late. I tell you, she had better have a good excuse. Harry Flynn Detective Agency, Flynn here.
Oh, Harry! Harry, my... Harry!
Deborah, where are you? What happened? Are you all right? And why the hell are you so late?
Harry, my brother...
Oh, yeah. Johnny, right? Good kid. What about him?
He's dead, Harry. They found him dead this morning.
All right. Calm yourself down. Where are you?
I'm down at the police department with my family being questioned. Harry, I would have called sooner, but... You know these things can be...
Yeah, I do. Hold on, Deborah. I'll be right over.
What? No, Harry, I didn't say...
I hung up the phone, numb in disbelief. I've only encountered little Johnny Sullivan a handful of times, and he always seemed like a good kid. A little reserve, sure, but nothing out of the ordinary. But murdered? Why? For what reason? As I headed down to my car, coffee in tow, I began speculating. Was Johnny murdered because of something he did? Or was he just in the wrong place at the wrong time? I barely had time to park the car outside the precinct and drain my mug before I was bombarded by an old friend who had ascended to a new place.
Harry! Good to see you. How have you been?
Fine. I've been fine. Like the new digs.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get the big hat when you become commissioner. So how's tricks, you old shyster, you?
Travis, you're acting like we haven't seen each other in months. We played bridge last week.
Oh, yeah. Well, absence makes the heart grow fonder, I guess.
It's all right. I'm here for the Sullivan case. You know, Deborah's family.
Oh, right. Yeah. Awful, huh? Just a young kid. Wonder how Deborah feels about it.
Spinelli.
Sorry. Hey, Rogers!
Yeah?
Come here for a minute.
He beckoned over a spindly, lanky fellow with jet black hair and a dour disposition.
Harry, this here's our newest officer, Oscar Rogers. Officer Rogers, escort Mr. Flynn to the interrogation room, please. See you later, Harry.
Yeah, bye. The juxtaposition of Spinelli's boyish enthusiasm at his new position with the new guy's lack of, well, any discernible emotion made me feel all at once ill at ease with the situation. As we navigated some of the deeper catacombs of the police office, I tried to strike up a little light conversation. So, Rogers, is it? Where are you from, Rogers?
Small town.
Okay. Which small town?
The smallest.
What's its name?
Doesn't matter. You've never heard of it.
Well, all right. How long you want to be in law enforcement, Rogers?
A while.
Is that so? So, do you have any,
Hey, look at that. We're here. Bye.
Without so much as a single word, he unlocked the thick steel door to the interrogation room and silently pointed me inside. As I walked in, I saw my secretary, Deborah, clutching a 50-something-year-old man and a 50-something-year-old woman, whom I figured were her parents. She didn't even acknowledge me, and I don't blame her at all. This kind of thing is hell to go through. Also in the room were two faces I was all too familiar with. D.A. Robert Murdoch and Officer Esmeralda Spumosa. And boy, was it Officer Spinoza.
Come on, you sickos. I know you did it. They know you did it. He knows you did it. The whole world knows you did it. Confess. Confess! When did you rob that bank?
What?
Don't you what me, you gray-haired, good-for-nothing sack of murgle-gurgle.
Murgle what?
I'm not allowed to use strong cusses, so I make some up. It's fun. Fletchnard.
Spinoza, stop it. Now this is the fifth and final time I will tell you. These people are not suspects. They're victims. Their son has been brutally and viciously murdered.
Thank you so much for that. Just when I was getting it out of my head.
Horace, stop it! Look, officer, can we please stop with all the questions? We just had it. Oh, jeez.
Look, Moth, don't start crying, else I'm gonna start it too. Oh, here we go!
No! Johnny! No, Johnny!
Sorry. Oh, it pains me to see my two girls like this.
I'm sad.
No, Johnny, why'd you have to go so young?
And I thought that maybe Deborah had received the short end of the vocal stick. Seems like her folks had both been gifted with that nasally whine, and, with their powers combined, they sounded like some sort of melancholy fire alarm. It was probably heartless, but I just couldn't stay in that room. I had to step out for a moment, just to regain auditory ability. Murdoch and Spinoza followed close on my tail. The DA looked as though he was about to burst from sheer frustration. Spinoza almost immediately wandered off, humming some sort of made-up tune.
You see what I've had to deal with? Look, I understand that losing a son is a traumatic ordeal, but they have yet to answer a single question. It's been like this every 4 minutes for the past 5 hours.
Well, what exactly do you expect to get out of them?
Anything. Literally anything. I can't even get out the boy's full name, let alone any places he frequented or the company he kept.
Where was he found?
At his place of work. Let me see here. Wilson's Auto, up on the south side of the city. It's on 78 West Cheyenne Drive. Nice place, all things considered.
What was the cause?
Trauma. Probably caused by a blunt object. He was working up until he was killed. Never saw it coming, I guess.
I see. Now, you said the company he kept earlier. Is there anything I should know about that specifically?
Not really. Word on the street is he was involved with some street racers. But I don't see how that could affect anything on a grand scale.
Mm-hmm. All right. At least I know where to start. Oh, before I go, I think I can help you out with some questioning.
Be my guest, Flynn.
For every question Murdoch asks that you answer, I'll give you a day off!
I will answer literally every question you ask me.
Yeah, that should take care of that. I trudged off, taking no particular notice as to which way I was walking, and ran into a figure that was painfully familiar.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, hello, Harry.
Marla, been a while.
Yes.
So, how have you been? What have you been doing these, past few months, I guess?
Well, for a while I went down to Papua New Guinea, you know, trying to sort some stuff out, getting to know who I was again. A lot of intense soul-searching. You?
I drank, mostly.
Well, I've got to go talk with Murdoch.
Murdoch? He's busy right now at the Sullivans. Deborah's brother was murdered.
I know. She hired me to look into her case. I'm going to confer with Murdoch right now.
You what? Before Marla could get a word in edgewise, I stormed back into the interrogation room, so angry I couldn't formulate proper sentences. You... I... Boss... Recompense... Ah!
Jeez, Harry, what are you so worked up about?
Why would you not come to me first? I'm your boss. And I happen to find out what happened to people for a living. And I'm your boss. Besides, why would you call unless you wanted me to come down?
Well, first off, I never told you to come down. I was just calling to let you know where I was. You rushed over all on your own, Harry Flynn.
That's not... Oh, no, wait. You're right. Continue.
Secondly, I know your prices. Too rich for my blood.
Hold on, Pumpkin. Are you saying that you're not even paid enough to use the services offered by your own boss?
You should be ashamed of yourself, you dirty little putz.
Thank you, Daddy. Marla's cheaper.
You know for a fact that the verbal contract we made up includes a special fee waiver clause.
It does. Oh, I forgot. Finally, I thought this would be a touchy subject since I work for you. I thought you'd maybe care too much.
Oh, come on. I couldn't care any less if I tried.
What the hell?
That came out wrong. Look, all I meant is that I won't be biased. Besides, Marla's just as close to you, if not more.
Harry, you and I both know that there's close, and then there's close. Marla and I are close. Right, Marla?
You got it, Debs.
Debs? The hell is that?
It's my nickname. That's how close we are.
But you just said closeness is bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a certain sort of... I got nothing.
You think I do a subpar job, is that it? You don't think I'm good enough?
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you two team up?
Oh, I don't...
You don't what? Do you find the idea of teaming up with me that repulsive?
No, not at all. It's just that...
Forget it. I'll show you. I'll show you all. I'm going to find out just what happened, and then you'll know who the best really is.
Go ahead, Harry. Make an ass of yourself. You do it better than anyone else I know.
Who wants a juice cup?
I stormed out of the room, too blinded by rage to notice anyone or anything in particular. It wasn't until I was halfway back to my office that I even remembered the address of the garage. I wheeled back around, hoping that someone would still be working when I got there. About 10 minutes later, I pulled into the garage itself. Nice setup, from what I knew about garages, which, admittedly, is jack squat. Looked good, though. I opened the door of the car. Waiting for me when I got out was an older man in a pair of grease-stained coveralls, chewing on a toothpick.
There's a car that could use some work.
If you think this is bad, you should have seen my last car.
How about it? What do you want to do here?
What I'd like to do here is ask you a few questions, if you don't mind.
Oh. You a cop?
No, sir. I'm a private eye. A detective, if you will. Just a few questions about a mechanic who worked here.
Johnny, you want to know about Johnny. Just like the little girl that was here before.
What?
Sure. A little girl was here about 2 hours ago. You know, mousy brown hair. Cute thing.
You don't say. What exactly did you tell her?
There's not much to tell. You know, Johnny was a good worker. He did a lot of hard labor, and that's all.
I heard from a reliable source that he was involved in drag racing or something.
That I don't know about. Although...
Although what?
Maybe I could know about it. Look here, Mr. Detective. Right here at your rear axle. You know what it could use to help it go along? Some grease. Always grease the wheel if you want it to work with you.
I see. I went into my wallet, pulled out $50, cleared my throat, and tried again. I don't have any grease, but maybe this will smooth things over.
Sure. You must understand, Mr. Detective, I don't want Johnny's name dragged through the mud. Johnny, he's a good boy, but got mixed up in the wrong crowd. These drag racers, they're no good.
Well, they're just tooling around the city, right? I mean, apart from speeding, no harm, no foul.
You know what they all used to be before? Bootleggers. They supercharged their cars so they could transport liquor. Now, they ain't got liquor to move. Where are they gonna move instead? Huh? Harder stuff, that's what.
So, Johnny was helping out a drug syndicate?
I can't say anymore. Look, you should go. Your car's fine. Have a pleasant evening, Mr.
Flynn. Harry Flynn.
Dimitri. Dimitri Kostas. Dimmy for short.
I drove away, head reeling. Such a sweet boy to be mixed up in all that. I felt for Deborah. I felt for the Sullivans. But mostly, I felt for the kid. Something in me wished I could go back and help him, but too little too late, I suppose. And meanwhile, there's a fully functioning drug peddling association somewhere in our city, and I won't rest till it's been torn apart.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of The Long Drag, Part 1, but first, a word from our sponsor.
So I'm sitting there thinking, is this even legal? And if not, is it at least kosher? So the waitress comes back and... Are we on? Right now. Ooh.
Whoopsie doodle. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of radio. I am Police Commissioner Travis Spinelli, broadcasting to you live from the box, the city's high security prison facility. Now, as most of you may know, this past spring we had a bit of a, well, massive prison break-esque scenario, which resulted in the release of notorious mafioso Giovanni Colazione, among several dozen others.
We here at TCPD purchased this commercial time to let you know breakouts will no longer be a problem. We'd like to tell you a little bit about the... Excuse me? Hello, we're live, so please keep it down. Thank you.
You call that a commercial, you charlatan?
Who said that? Quiet down!
It had no pizzazz, no life, no je ne sais quoi.
Guard!
Yes, sir.
Who is that? Over in cell 182.
That's the commercial announcer.
I don't want to know his gang name. What's his name?
The commercial announcer. That is his name, sir. Change it back in 1924.
From what?
If I wanted you to know, I wouldn't have changed it, you quivering sack of slaughterhouse byproducts.
Ugh. What's wrong with him?
Lots of things, sir. He attempted to shoot another announcer in what is, as far as I can tell, some kind of radio turf war. Also, he broke into an elderly couple's house in an attempt to sell them a cup with knives at the bottom of it, or something. He's a very sick man.
Well, look, I don't have all day here, buddy. We're broadcasting right now, so if you don't mind...
That's just the thing. I can help you. I can make it better. I can make it draw people in from miles around. If you let me help you now, I guarantee you your name will go down in the history books as Commissioner Travis Spinelli, radio's darling.
Really? Gee, that'd be pretty neat, actually, but... But you're kind of a convicted criminal.
Radio's darling!
All right, you got me. What do I do?
Well, first you've got to open my cell.
Guard!
Yes, sir?
Do as the man says.
Good, good. Now you've got to have a product you want advertised. It doesn't have to be good, so long as you can put a positive spin on it. For example, you see this thing I have in my hand? Not much, right?
Nah, looks to me like a bit of lead piping with some glass in one end and some sheets at the other.
Good eye. That's exactly what it is. But you've just got to find the right spin on it. This is what we call in the business a pitch. New from the throes of prison desperation comes the shank wow. Now one of you asks me how it works.
Okay. Shank wow, huh? How's it work?
Like this.
Wow.
It bangs. It boffs. It does the beautiful amount of damage only a hastily constructed prison weapon can.
Guards! Guards! Lots of guards are needed right now!
And in a pinch, it functions as a makeshift grappling hook. So long, suckers! I'm back, baby!
Well, he's gone. What? Donald, what does that little red light up there mean? Oh, you were broadcasting the whole time. Great. Oh, dandy. Well, good night, I guess. I'm so fired.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
After returning from the garage, I found a note in familiar script wedged under my door. It read, "Things got out of hand earlier. I feel bad. Meet me for a drink at Glenn's. We need to talk. M.N." I hadn't been to Glenn's in a while. I'd prefer to do my drinking at home. Still, it felt to be something of a reunion when I walked through the doors to be greeted by Glenn once more.
Welcome to Glenn's. Can I get you something, stranger?
Who the hell are you? Where's Glenn?
Well, the bar went into the red for a while, so he sold it and went upstate to pursue chemistry.
Went into the red? When was that?
About 3 months ago.
That's odd. I haven't been coming here for three... Okay, I get it. I take it you're the new owner, then. What's your name?
Ben.
Well, nice to meet you, Ben. What do you say we start this relationship off right? Give me three gin and tonics on the rocks and keep them coming.
Yes, sir.
I found a cozy booth with low lighting. Not so much to set the mood, more to mask how much I've aged in the past few months. I couldn't help myself earlier today. Marla leaving me was one of the most traumatic ordeals of my adult life. It scared me sober for a while. She had left me, and I was furious about it, just because of how hurt I was. Now, even though I assumed this meeting was about our case, I couldn't help but hope that maybe...
Hello, Harry. Got enough drinks there?
Oh, that. Just making up for lost time, I guess. Have you been since I saw you last?
Look, just cut the pointless, hi, how are you crap? I'm sick of it anyway.
Fine by me.
Barkeep, bourbon on the rocks and a shot of vodka.
You call that a feminine drink order?
And what, pray tell, is wrong with it?
Well, nothing. It's just not your standard female drink order.
Well, I'm not your standard female drinker.
Point taken. What did you want to talk about?
First off, I wanted to apologize for earlier today.
Look, if anyone should apologize, it's me. I was angry about Deborah not coming to me for help first. I just thought that'd be her natural tendency.
Fair enough. Let's make it official. Bygones?
Bygones.
Now, I think we should take some time to talk about the... you know.
Yeah, I know. So, do you want to start, or should I?
I'll go. Harry, I want you to know I really did feel something for you. I just didn't realize what it was.
Here are your drinks, ma'am. Want any more, sir?
No, I'm good. I'll holler if I need. Now I go?
Now you go.
Look, Marla, it's not because it's over that I'm all bent out of shape. It's just that I don't get over these kind of things well.
Well, how do you mean?
How do I put this? Example, before you came into my life, there was this girl, Carolyn. I loved her so much, but I never did anything about it. Now, I told myself at the time that it was because I wanted her career to flourish, or because I wasn't good enough for her, but the truth of it is, I was scared. I was scared it wouldn't work, and I let her go. Now she's in Philadelphia. You see what I'm getting at?
Sort of, but not in relation to me, though.
I took that chance with you, and it turned out just the way I thought it would. And, truth be told, it's hard to let go. That's why I'm acting so differently. After that, I need a stiff drink. Hey, Ben, what's the strongest stuff you got?
Well, liquor-wise, I have some old moonshine. I also have a can of paint thinner, if you're interested.
Let's go with the moonshine.
Harry, you've just got to forget it. We dated. It didn't work. Done. We're two consummate professionals who work better together. It only hurts us if we're apart. What do you say?
Well, what the hell? Why not? What have you got on this?
Well, it's not much, but someone witnessed Johnny going into a candle shop down on Lower Wharton Drive. Afterwards, they saw a gang of men, Johnny included, head out to some nearby stretch of road and race each other. It could be some sort of gang, but I'm not sure.
I think I know what it is. Where did you say it was again?
4 Lower Wharton Drive.
Come on, I'll fill you in on the way.
Sir, your moonshine.
Put it on my tab. Name's Flynn. Harry Flynn.
All right, have a good night. Let's see here, Flynn.
Oh my God!
I told Marla what I knew, and we both realized the time to move was now or never. Or an as of yet undetermined third time. We drove my old junker down to the address we'd found at the station. All that was there was a series of old, rickety apartment buildings. Underneath one sat a store so out of place as to counteract any conspicuousness the thugs had hoped to imbibe it with, Murray's Scented Candle Shop. We pulled up slowly, parking the car softly next to the curb. My mind was racing with possibilities, and I never even thought anything remotely like this phrase would ever come across my mind. All the answers I needed were behind the doors of that scented candle emporium. Bring your gun. I smell trouble.
What? Oh, ha ha, scented candles, smell. I get it. Now focus.
Couldn't help myself. Anyway, my intuition tells me we're going to be dealing with a lot of wicked people.
Oh my God, really?
I'm sorry. I didn't even mean that one. It just kind of happened. Hopefully it'll pass. Anyway, I'll distract him. You look for a way into the back.
You got it, Harry. And hey, Harry?
Yeah?
Good luck.
You too. We walked casually towards the door, attempting not to arouse any suspicion. Marla entered before me. I followed 3 minutes afterwards. The overpoweringly synthetic smells emanating from the candles would have been endurable on their own, but mixed in from every which way with altogether different and overbearing smells, well, let's just say my nose got pretty sniffed off. Now I'm doing it in my head, and that one wasn't even good.
Can I help you, sir?
Apparently, in a state of anxiety from realizing that puns have soaked into my waking psyche, I did not realize I had sauntered in front of the counter. The man in front of me looked to be fat, balding, with hands that looked like they crushed tin for a living, and a face only a mother could love. That is, if the mother had been stung in the eyes by a bee. He stared at me with eyes the size of ping-pong balls, while licking thick, cracked purple lips. Marla was waiting for an opportunity to edge around him. Time to engage. Good day, sir. I have to say, I'm not impressed with the selection out front. You got anything stronger? I was working purely off impulse. I had no idea if this was the front for their drug peddling business. The troll motioned me inward with one thick, craggly finger.
Would you like to buy a floral-scented candle?
Yes. Yes, I would.
We have 4 floral-scented candles in shop this fine day. Peruvian Breeze, Jamaica Me Crazy, White Horse's Hay, and Opium Candle.
It looked as though impulse was paying off. Just put me down for one of everything.
Very well, sir. Let me go and retrieve them from the back. Excuse me.
Murray turned around just in time to see Marla jumping over the counter in an attempt to breach the back of the store. Murray was stunned speechless for approximately 7 seconds.
What? This ain't right.
Oh, I was just wondering where your bathroom was. I didn't want to bother you while you were talking to that customer over there.
Oh. Oh! Is that all? Please, allow me to escort you to the faculties. Excuse me, sir.
Murray ushered Marla into the back of the store, and I couldn't help thinking how well things were going for us this time around. Luck really was on our side this night.
Nighty-night.
I woke up tied in a chair next to Marla in a room reeking of vanilla, cinnamon, and pine needles, with a thumping pain in the back of my head. Oh, my head. What the hell was that? And where are we?
That was Ocean's Kiss, a beautiful candle with subtle hints of beechwood and our signature scent, Sandy Shoals. We hit you over the head with it. And you two are in the place where you both will die. Adios!
Damn it!
Where are Harry and Marla? How will they get out of this one? Who is behind the drug-peddling ring? Will Spinelli be spared or fired for that one gross oversight? Tune in next week to find out. This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, The Long Drag, Part 1, was written by Lucas Tomasacci. Our cast today was Brandy George as Deborah Sullivan and Officer Spamoza. Christopher Gatpo as Officer Rogers, Guard, and Ben. DJ Nat as Harry Flynn. Drake Nestor as D.A. Murdoch, Commercial Announcer, Thug, and Horace Sullivan. Jennifer Momenzada as Marla Newman. And Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Commissioner Spinelli, Barbara Sullivan, Dimi, and Murray. Theme for The Adventures of Harry Flynn composed by Michael Wall and David Tomasacci, as performed by Michael Wall on piano, drums, and trumpet, Terrence Carnes on accordion, and Luis Obregón on viola, with sound engineering by Michael Wall. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all of your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of previous episodes. ¶¶